there, what's going on? Welcome to the In Your Dreams podcast. I'm Michelle, and this is my podcast where my guests and I discuss our dreams. We try to understand why we're having them, and we try to determine the meaning behind them. This is a special segment on the In Your Dreams podcast called Living Your Dreams. If you are new to the podcast, you will notice that most of my episodes involve my guests and I discussing the dreams we have while we are asleep. But I do like to celebrate the great things we are achieving while we are awake. Hence, Living Your Dreams. On this episode, my brother-in-law Jeff and his wonderful, beautiful girlfriend Veronica discuss their most recent trip to Costa Rica. They spent 1 month there at a yoga retreat. If you are achieving great things in your life, I want to hear about it. Head on over to mitchruby.com/inyourdreams and fill out the form. If you're having some weird, crazy, wild dreams at night, I also want to hear about that too. Living Your Dreams episode, guys. Woo! We got Jeff and Veronica. Just spent time in Costa Rica.
And Dan's here too.
Spent time in America.
And Aunt.
Yeah, but Dan moved out, so maybe that's it.
That is a Living Your Dreams.
Yeah, let's actually.
This is about us.
Yeah. Talk about me this time.
Yeah. We'll put you guys on the back. Yeah. Let's hear about you moving out 10 minutes from home.
Things are crazy now. Holy crap.
In December, yeah. So, begin.
All right, well, let's start.
I have questions. So.
Okay.
I mean, you probably want to go in a certain order, but are you a certified yoga instructor now?
I have to teach 5 amateur classes, and then after that, I...
So you went to Costa Rica because Veronica, you're a yoga instructor.
Oh, wait, did you guys have to pay $25 to get back to leave Costa Rica?
No.
To what?
To leave Costa Rica?
My mom's like, the funny thing about Costa Rica is you have to leave. You have to pay to leave.
25 days.
That just sounds like something you would do to an American.
Yeah, I feel like somebody. Yeah. I feel like somebody scammed.
$25, please.
Yeah.
Who do you pay?
I'll ask my mom tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be other.
Isn't that weird?
I feel like somebody got $25.
She was there. She was there 2 years ago. She stayed for 3 weeks, and she's like, "Yeah, I don't remember that the first time we went, but 2 years ago I had to pay $25 to get out." I'm like, "What?" Okay, Mom.
Well, no, that was not the case.
Did not happen.
Where we were.
Inform her of that.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Tell her she got ripped.
I'm just very curious who she gave the money to. Some random person?
It was a shirtless boy. Outside
the
airport.
He would not let me leave.
You go to the airport, you pay $25.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That was funny.
So I'm already a teaching certified yoga instructor.
Yeah.
And then Jeff was getting his certification whilst we were there.
But explain, why you guys went. How this whole thing came about.
Ooh! Okay, it's a good story.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah, you dive in.
Okay, so, basically, we told you about the LIU Global thing that we wanted to do.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, essentially, we wanted to go all around the world through this school program, and we were really excited for it and looking forward to it, but 2016 just wasn't exactly our year, and it ended up falling through very late in the game when we were thinking, okay, this is going to be a sure thing, and then it just all fell through. So, we were pretty upset about that, and then we were going into New York City, and we were on the train, and we pulled into, Woodside or something like that.
Yeah,
so one of the more random stops along the way, and the doors open, all these people get on the train, and I'm staring at this girl, and I'm like, I know her from somewhere. She's staring at me, and, she knows me, and then I realize, oh my gosh, that's my yoga instructor. So I'm like, hey, Des, what's going on? So we start talking, and she sits with us, and we're catching up, and she ends up telling us how she is going to be going down to Costa Rica and running this whole yoga retreat center. And she is like, yeah, we were thinking that we'd want you guys to come down if you were available. It would be perfect for you guys, blah, blah, blah. So at the time, she was saying how they might need help sort of running the retreat. So we didn't really know exactly what was going to be expected of us or whatever the case may be, but we didn't hear from her for a while. And then, you know, I'm like a child, so once you tell me something, I don't let it go. And I'm like, hey, so about that retreat, huh? About us moving to Costa Rica, huh? And so I was just, you know, I kept asking her about it and whatever. And I think it was a situation where she didn't really know what was going on either, so she couldn't really give us that much information. And then when it all came together, it just kind of all came together all at once. And there was the whole, what was it, like, it was on the website, and she was just saying how, oh, we're going to offer this program for people who want to get certified down there. And there was also a retreat for what's called Living Your Dharma. So Dharma is like your life's purpose, yeah, and everything. So you could go there either for the 1 week or you could go there for the month and get certified to teach. So it was pretty late in, I think like October or November, like pretty
October.
October, yeah. So, you know, we didn't have much time to prepare because all of this was going on in January, but we were like, you know, let's do it. You know, and then the ironic thing is that when we were going to do the school program with LIU Global, everybody kept saying, you have to go to Costa Rica. You have to start in Costa Rica. And we didn't want to go to Costa Rica. We wanted to go to Thailand. But they kept saying, no, 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 because you guys would be transfers. You really should start in Costa Rica. It would just make your situation better. Yeah, it would just make it easier for you guys to be integrated. And we were like, we really don't want to go to Costa Rica, but whatever. So then when we met up with Desiree, then she kept saying Costa Rica. And the ironic thing about that is that throughout, like, I think 2 years or something, she's been trying to actually move to Puerto Rico. And she had a surefire thing going. And at the end of 2016, pretty much at the same time that LAU Global fell through for us, Puerto Rico fell through for her.
That's cool.
And then she ended up getting this opportunity from the woman who owns the retreat center's name is Debbie. And so she just randomly got in contact with Desiree and was like, I just bought this retreat center. I just need someone to help me run it. Like, it's already up and running and everything is there. It's fully facilitated. And I just need someone to kind of like manage it for me. So it was just all so weird that it was all coming together. So then I said to Jeff, I'm like, honestly, I don't know why we're supposed to be there, what exactly we're going to be gaining from this, but I feel like something is just pushing us towards Costa Rica. You know, like, this is the second time that it's been sort of like, okay, Costa Rica, Costa Rica. And since we've gone to Europe and then we came back and we've just been like paying off our debts and, you know, it's like life hasn't been that exciting. And I was just kind of ready and raring to go anywhere, you know. So we ended up booking it and going down there. And I told Jeff beforehand, I'm like, I once again, I'm not really sure what it is that we're supposed to be down there for, but I just feel like once we get down there and we start networking and you get your yoga certification, we're going to meet people and maybe they're not asking us to move down there now, but once we just get our foot in the door and meet new people and stuff, I just feel like these other opportunities are going to arise for us. And that's pretty much essentially what happened, because at the end of the month, when Jeff got his yoga certification and Debbie got to know us a little bit more, she was saying like, yeah, we need yoga instructors. I absolutely adore both of you. And whenever you want to come back, like, the door is open for you.
Whoa.
I would hire you right off
the
bat.
Are you going back?
Well, we might be. And then she was also telling me how if I were to design some sort of like yoga clothing or bags or whatever, she's like, I'll buy 50 right off the bat from you and everything. So it was like, once we got down there, it was like the land of opportunity. And then we also got hooked up with this website called Yoga Trade. And basically, it's all these different job opportunities all around the world. And they're looking for yoga instructors or people to manage their retreat centers.
Couples specifically in a lot of
specifically cases. Couples. Awesome. They're looking for multiple people to go down there and it's all over the world. So it's in Greece, it's in Italy, the French Riviera, Austria, Switzerland.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really He's about to get certified. We're all about to get certified.
But yeah, so it was crazy because, you know, like I said, and that's the thing, like I'm very open to my intuition, and I'm very comfortable with just following feelings and stuff. You know, I know we've talked about that before, and Jeff wasn't necessarily...
It was not my strong suit.
Yeah, he wasn't as into it, but the wonderful thing was that while we were down there, there was just, like, this beautiful growth that he went through, and, you know, so he's a lot more in tune with that now, and... But it was just crazy because, like I said, I'm like, I don't know what opportunities are going to be waiting for us, but I just know that we're supposed to be down there and something will come of it. And it was like more things than we can even name that were like waiting for us, you know? So I don't know. It's just crazy.
So what are you guys waiting for in terms of making a decision? You want to check this site or you want to...
We're going to apply on the site a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're actually kind of waiting for the lady, Debbie, to respond to us. Not respond, but, like, just reach out to us, just because we left it kind of open-ended.
Oh,
it was,
okay.
Like, the day we were leaving, she said all of this stuff to us. So it's, like, when she needs people, you know, I'm definitely ready to go back.
Yeah,
awesome.
And then they know that I am an artist and that's something that I really enjoy talking about and doing and teaching and stuff like that. So then they were also telling me, oh, you could open up like an artist's retreat.
Yeah.
So you could have people for a week or 2 weeks or whatever and, you know, just create this whole retreat for maybe practicing artists or people who want to become artists or whatever, but it would just be this whole way to meditate through art and creativity and all that kind of stuff. And it was like the second they said that would be a possibility of something that I could do, I already created a list of things. I'm like, oh, I would do this, I would do that, I would do that. Jeff could do this, I could do that. You know, and it's just like I said, so many opportunities that I can't even remember all of the things that we talked about while we were down there, but it was pretty nuts.
How would it work? Would you make a salary or you would live on, they would provide room and board?
Yeah, so it seems like a large part of the wage would be free food, free living quarters. But, you know, what we talked to the other teachers about was, like, pretty much you want to discuss a salary that however much you want to save in a year, that's how much you should be earning.
Okay.
So, you know, you're not going to get as much as you're going to get around here, but...
Yeah, but it's different.
But if you get
free
to the bank.
Food and room and board, that's like...
Yeah, your expenses are pretty much cut down.
Exactly.
And the thing is, you know, before I went to college and all that kind of stuff, I've been reflecting on this lately, and I remember thinking the whole process of college, marriage, babies, this, that, things, like just the common path has never been for me. And I remember getting into like kind of an argument with my parents, and they were like, well, if you don't want to go to college, then what is it that you want to do? And I didn't know, but I just knew that, once again, following feelings, I just knew that wasn't specifically for me. And,
I'm sorry.
Were you going to say something?
No, I had a question when you're done.
Okay. And so I've been reflecting on that and thinking how, you know, I didn't know that all of this was going to be in my future, but I could kind of feel it.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to travel. I knew that I wanted to have some sort of adventurous lifestyle. And it's just crazy that I just turned 23 and we kind of have that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
or at least the opportunity is like just like knocking on your door.
Exactly. And these moments are coming to us and saying like, hey, you can do this if you want. It's a little scary. Like,
a little bit,
we were scared to go down to Costa Rica without like, all right, you know, we're kind of broke. Like, we don't know how we're going to do this, but we worked for it and we just kind of went with trust and openness and that's what happens. So, but it's just, you know, I remember having that conversation with my parents and saying, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do, but I know that there's got to be something else out there. And it's so true. There is.
Yeah.
There's so many other things out there.
Yeah.
But what were you going
to
ask?
What was your question, Dan?
Well, like how scary it is to, like, take a chance like this. Like, I'm just curious, like, where you got this from, like, that feeling of, like, intuition, like, trust your feelings.
And I just want to piggyback on that, too, because...
Like, that's great, like...
Because, like, I feel like it's really hard to, for me, to trust my instinct, because, mm-hmm. like, I have this, like, really, like, deep belief that my instincts are wrong.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
and that they're going to end up, I'm going to end up dead or completely broke following my, like, what I think my instincts are, yeah. when really I think... Like what I believe my instincts are is just rooted in like social, like how like I've seen like things I've seen on TV,
mm-hmm.
like you know like commercialism and just regular life that like they like the stuff that you're talking
mm-hmm.
about,
mm-hmm.
that the world just makes you believe is the way to be. So
may I take this one?
Yeah, go for it.
So we like what I picked up from because like I've always felt the same way. Never trusted myself and my instincts. Never followed them because at this point you just kind of. They get lost in the shuffle. They're confused with your thoughts, and you
mm-hmm.
can't distinguish one from the other at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you want. It's in there somewhere. Like, if you see something that you want to do, you're thinking about it, but society has trained you to just ignore it, to dismiss it. Oh, it's unrealistic. It's selfish,
mm-hmm.
yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to say that, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we got our fair share of, you know, like, people...
It's crazy.
You know,
you're being
exactly.
reckless.
Yeah,
you're
reckless.
Being selfish.
How can they
you're
see
so
in my... When I look at this... You guys are so young.
Yeah.
Where I'm like,
go for it.
I wish I was, because I turned 30 in March. So I constantly feel I have a ticker, tick, 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 that when I turn 30, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm like, you better get your fucking shit together, not the curse. But this is and my mom, I had the life, we had the conversation in the car. When mom took me
mm-hmm.
to my pet sitting job. And we were talking about health insurance and all this. And she's like, maybe you have to get a full-time job. You need to get a full-time job so you can get health insurance because it's just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, but then I'm, you know.
Part
of me is live the adult life. I'm going to be, like, 30 is, you know.
Yeah.
It's a scary number.
You're still young.
I am. You're young. I am young. And I'm not saying that, but it's still, again, it goes back to what society has shaped for you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then part of me is like, okay, 30, get a job, like a full-time job, so you have benefits and a good income, you don't have to worry about that.
But that's not important.
You're right.
No.
But it is important to, you should have health insurance, right? But
yeah.
So there's that part, and then the other part of me is like, but that's not how I've ever done it, ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jeff, continue.
Yeah, sorry, Jeff.
But part of it is, you know, we don't live in this, like, spiritual society anymore. You know, back when we didn't have all these, like, things distracting us and confusing us, it was so much easier to follow your intuition because there was so much less going on
yeah.
up there. There's not so much interference, which is what we have now. So
yeah.
it's just learning to shut all that crap off and, like, just take the plunge. Like, we're lucky we have so many opportunities. We have homes that we live in with parents
yeah.
that are willing to
yes.
allow us to do these things so we don't have to, you know, cart all of our stuff around the world. But some of it's striking while the iron's hot, you know. There's not too many opportunities to do this sort of thing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And go ahead.
And the thing is, like, we have luck in the sense of, yeah, we do have families that are very supportive and, like you said, allow us to do this. But another part of it is... we also work to make up the percentage of the luck that we don't have, if
yeah.
that makes any
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You were working practically 7 days a week before we left. I was working multiple jobs, as always.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to be willing to do those things. And for me, if I can expand upon the question that Anthony asked, I've kind of always been... very open to that. Like, I don't know what else to say. I was kind of born with that, and I was always very spiritual as a child. But apart from spirituality, there have been times where I doubted and I've been scared, and I'm like, I'm not sure if what I'm doing is right. But I've had so much proof, like when we went to Europe, and once again, I kept saying, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I'm going to go to Europe. I am totally going to go to Europe. And I would tell anybody and everybody
yeah.
who would listen to me that that's what was going to happen. And I didn't know how or why or when it was going to happen. And then right around the time that I wanted to book my flight and leave anyway, Jeff ends up losing his job and getting a severance package. And everything just came together. So to me, that's just proof. Like, yes. And when I have these moments of fear and doubt... when you take risks, you're rewarded, and then the more that you take, the more you're rewarded. And then in moments when you're, that fear is creeping in again, and it's like, I don't know, and you get too realistic, and oh, that's just, that's not possible, it's not feasible, you can look back on those moments
your
and say,
reference points.
It, exactly. Yeah. It is possible. I've done this before, other people have done it before, and the life that I want is out there. It's just waiting for me.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to get it. Did you feel you wanted to be a yoga instructor? Like, when did it hit you, this is what you wanted to do? Or you were just like, I'm going to try this.
That was it. I said I was going to try it. I think it was before we left or while we were there. I was pretty much like, I don't think I'm even going to be a yoga teacher. It's just something that's...
Just to feel intuitive, right?
And yeah, like I just kind of wanted to have the experience. But
yeah.
It was a total package that came along with just... It's not just learning how to teach yoga.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
just so many like philosophical things that
yeah.
I learned, cultural things like about India. And like we just don't have it figured out here in America
no.
the way that a lot of... The rest of the world has it.
Yeah.
And just being able to draw from that wealth of knowledge and...
So what was your,
improve.
Like, day in the life of, like?
So most days we would wake up at, like, 6:30 with the birds.
The first week was very different than the rest of our month. Because, like I said before, there were two options that you could do. You could do the Living Your Dharma retreat or you could do the teacher training. So essentially what... Yeah, exactly. What happened was we signed up and I said, well, I would love to do the Living Your Dharma retreat and I want to go down there with Jeff and I kind of want to stay with him. And they had this amazing package deal going on where if one person went down there, the other person would go for free, I think. So then, so it was buy one, get one free. So you could essentially split the cost 50-50.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how we ended up managing it. So I was like, okay, well, then I just want to stay there for the rest of the month because it was so cheap to stay down there. So, yeah, and then basically, you know, since I know Desiree and she was his instructor and everything, it was awesome because I had already gone through the training. So she's like, all right, perfect. I'm going to use you for help and you can teach some classes and everything. So I was kind of like working to stay there, but... I didn't really do much work, to be honest.
It wasn't hard work.
Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't feel like work ever.
When you love something, it
exactly.
doesn't feel like work.
Yeah. So basically, our first week was the whole retreat, and so there was one other girl there. So it was pretty much only Jeff and I for most of the time, except for the first week when we met Zoe, who was wonderful, and she was from New York City, and she was a little bit younger than us, and.
Wow.
Her parents ended up paying for her to go down there as, like, a graduation present.
Her dad's the CFO of Coca-Cola, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But both of her parents are, like, practicing yogis and everything, so she was wonderful.
And you probably met a friend now for life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and she...
Does she live in New York?
In New York City,
but
she... But
she has a house in Belport, too.
Yeah, and then I think she also is going to D.C. for school.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Sorry that we're, like, saying her life story. But, no, but she was just so wonderful, so we loved her, and it was really nice having her there for the first week. But, yeah, pretty much the first week, every day was very different, and it was exciting, but we'd wake up, like you said, at 6:30 with the birds, because the time there is very, like... You know, everybody's in bed by 8 p.m.
Yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel that way. It felt like 10 o'clock.
Well,
by
you
the
had
time we
full
were
days.
Yeah.
Get up early,
yeah.
Go to bed early.
Yeah. So did you want to say more? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to describe, like, the schedule.
Yeah,
yeah,
I want to hear your schedule.
So after that first part of the first week, you wake up, go to our first yoga class for an hour, which is just like a general yoga class, changes every day. Then breakfast at 9:30, awesome vegetarian,
vegan,
beautiful menus. Everything was fantastic.
It's so good in Costa Rica.
It was awesome. Everything's organic. And they grow most of it on property, which is just awesome.
Yeah, so essentially the whole place is, like, self-sustaining.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
So it was just you two, like, in the second? Okay.
Well, kind of. So Debbie, the owner, she's from Canada, and she actually ended up having a bunch of her Canadian friends come and stay with her because some of them were having properties built there. And so we had other company, and then Desiree and her wife, Beth, were down there with us too, and then we made really good friends with most of the people that worked there, so it was just, you know, we weren't lonely or anything, it wasn't desolate,
no, yeah,
but
yeah.
We were essentially, yeah, minus Zoe for the first week, we were pretty much the only
and
guests.
And how many guests can this retreat hold?
I think at this point they set up to about 20, but they were using a lot of that space for people that work there and for the Canadian
people. So it's pretty intimate.
And they're expanding. They intend to expand. Like, some of it was still in the beginning stages, which is why I think we were part, you know, some of the only people there and why they gave us, like, the discount package and everything. But Debbie's extremely generous, so she'd probably do something like that anyway. But, yeah, they intend to make it bigger and better. And, you know, they right now they have the infinity pool.
Yeah.
And the spa and the yoga studio, but they want to have a gym and they want to have more places for people to stay. So I'm just excited to see its growth too, because it's already stunning.
Vita Mountain.
Vita Mountain.
Yeah,
Vita
Mountain.
About this
how old is it? I'm just curious.
They only started building it 5 years ago, and we were the first two actual guests.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah. And we got to pioneer everything. And what was awesome was, like, there was this little Zen garden set up. And after Zoe left, they named it Zoe Zen Garden. And, like, so we're part of the first people to really be there and pioneer it. And, you know, like, they're going to remember that forever. Well, hopefully.
She did say she was going to name something after us. So we should have something coming our way.
A bathroom or something.
That's what we joked about, yeah. Jeff's crapper.
V-Ron's mountaintop peased off. That's what I called it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna get through the rest of the schedule for the dailies.
Okay. Okay.
Get, now we're off after breakfast. Then, like a yoga like teacher training, for like an hour and a half. Lunch, another hour off. Then back to the teacher training. Then,
yeah, but that was after the first week.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Then we had that hour off. Then dinner, and then just kind of putz around, and do whatever you want after that.
Yeah, so, honestly, like, some people were saying, like, oh, you're not as tan as I thought you'd be, but,
And then to that, I have to say, screw you.
I know, but...
You're not as tan. What the fuck is that on your face?
Exactly. Everybody's
got opinions. I know. Like, well, you're pastier than me because you didn't go to Costa Rica, but whatever. We want to point out our flaws here.
Yeah, right.
No, but the thing is, to be honest, we're kind of not really as tan as I expected to be, but we didn't get to go outside all the time. Like, we were in his training a lot of the time, and some days it was just so hot, and actually, it was really windy there, and so some days it was actually freezing.
I bet.
So we couldn't go in the pool or anything, so sometimes when we did have a moment that we could go outside, we kind of couldn't because of how windy it was, but we were there in the windy season, so.
I loved it, so.
Yeah, he was digging it, but.
What's the temperature? Like, what was your normal?
I'd say, like, caps out in the 80s. Not too bad, really. Like,
and it gets really nice and cool.
Not like Mexico.
No.
Mexico, that place is miserable.
But that was
never
summertime.
Going back.
But that was summertime.
Never going back.
There's
summertime, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In Costa Rica.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. That is true, yeah.
But it gets... and but we were in, a mountainous region. I think if we were
I don't know. I needed a hoodie on some nights in Costa Rica when I was
there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've been there. Yeah. I think if it was another part of Costa Rica where it gets a little bit hotter,
because
we did travel and the temperature was drastically different in some parts of the country as opposed to where we were at the retreat center. Yeah. So, but it got really nice and cool at night, so we didn't really need air conditioner or anything like that. But
scorpions delivered right to your room.
So go over.
Scorpion debacle.
Some spiders.
Yeah, definitely saw you saw my tarantula picture.
Yeah,
I did see that. Where was that?
That was like at our dinner table.
Scuttling by, like, hey, anything good for dinner?
Not that poisonous though. So no, none of the spiders we had to deal with were really very poisonous.
Well, the thing is, nothing there is really dangerous in terms of the spiders and the scorpions and stuff, but people kept using that as like, well, don't worry, they're not dangerous. And I'm like, I'm still gonna worry. There's a tarantula / scorpion in my house. Like,
oh, they were inside your.
Well, I have a story. Okay. So can I? Are we done talking about the schedule? Can I?
Yeah,
tell
I'm
the,
sure we'll
the
revisit.
Scorpion?
But go into scorpion.
All right. So basically, we ended up getting an upgrade, like, towards the end of the trip. So we were staying in one apartment, and then we moved.
You got an upgrade from where you were staying?
We were in a sweet-ass apartment, and then we got into, like, a little cabin. That was pretty
nice. And, like, the view from our cabin when we moved into that one was crazy. Like, our first view was awesome when we had a really nice balcony and everything, but then when we upgraded, we had a hot tub right outside of our door. Like,
I was wondering where the hot tub was going from.
That was right outside of our door, and then the, oh my gosh, just the view of the mountains was stunning, and two of the walls in the cabin were entirely glass, so we could just have our windows open, or our shades rather, and just see the most beautiful view.
That's
so
sick.
It was awesome.
Right on
the
edge of the rainforest, or the dry forest.
Yeah.
So like, if you just like look over that area where the pool,
hot
tub was, just all mountains, trees.
Yeah.
Birds every morning.
Yeah. So with that said, it was absolutely stunning. But we had some debacles with scorpions. So basically one morning, and I have to say, we never really dealt with this problem in our other apartment, in our first apartment. We had one spider one time.
No, three spiders.
Three spiders.
Oh, I was going to ask if you had any frogs in your shower or anything.
Yeah, we had a salamander one time. Oh, that's true. So I guess we did have creatures.
We
like,
did a nightly creature check when we got out.
Creature check. But, okay, so then when we moved into our new place, you know, we were getting all settled in, and this one morning we had yoga pretty early, as we did every morning, so I was just like, oh, okay, I was quickly getting changed, so I just threw my shorts on the floor, and I'm like, I'll clean up later.
Acting like she didn't do that the whole time.
Stop. So we go to yoga.
First time.
We come back and we're getting all settled in, relaxing before we have to go to his training. And I was like, oh, I want to get this nice picture, but I wanted us to be in our pajamas. So I was like, all right, let me just change and then we'll take the picture together. So I pick up my shorts and something falls out of them. So I'm like, oh, that's weird. What was that? I look down. A scorpion just fallen out of the shorts that I was this close to putting on my body. So I don't think I've ever been so scared in my whole life because...
Do they move fast?
Not too fast. Also, they had just put a chemical spray, not a chemical spray, but a killing spray down. So they were pretty sluggish.
Yeah, so they were getting kind of sluggish, but I almost passed out from fear just because it wasn't the fact, like, first of all, I don't like arachnids to begin with. So that was enough of a shock.
Plus in shorts.
Yeah, but then just the idea that I almost put that on my body and I was all this close to having a scorpion on me.
How
like,
big are they? Okay, I mean, not that you all can
like
see.
Like that tall. Like, 3 inches tall, 3 inches long, roundabout.
Five feet wide.
Perfectly square.
So flat.
About 2 meters.
Like stingrays.
How did you get rid of it?
Well, so listen, so... I'm freaking out, and I'm like, I have to sit down. Like, I'm not even trying to be dramatic, Jeff. I am very close to passing out. I need to sit on the bed for a second. So he's like, all right, I got it. You know, I'll take care of it. So it crawled underneath our fridge, but we had, like, a little mini type of fridge, so we were able to just move it out of the way and check what was underneath. So Jeff does that, and then he's like, just don't look over here, babe.
Oh, no.
Just don't look. It's fine. I got this. I'll handle it. But it was too late, and I glance out of the corner of my eye, and I see two more scorpions.
What the fuck?
Scorpion family!
Yeah, underneath the fridge. Now, they were already dead, but I didn't care. It was the fact that at one point, we had three scorpions in our lovely abode.
Oh, my God. Don't even say that.
But you say eggs one more time.
Yes. Will they crawl up the bed?
They go on the walls and stuff. And this guy actually got stung in his sleep while we were there.
Yeah.
See, so, I probably would have some issues with
this. So,
just because in my head, I'd be in my head.
Thankfully, this happened our last full day there, so we only had to sleep there one more night, and honestly, by that point, I was like, I'm grateful this is our last night. Like, I didn't really mean it. I didn't want to go home, but I was like, if this happened at any other point throughout our trip, I wouldn't have slept the whole time.
Imagine the first day.
I know.
How did you get the scorpion out?
So,
you can't touch them, right?
A couple days prior, we saw
that you would touch them.
They're not poisonous, but other people were touching them. But a couple days prior, we saw a scorpion outside, and this lady Rosie, that we know, killed it with a rock. But she had to hit that thing like 5 times. They're pretty resilient.
Yeah.
You know, they got armor.
Yeah.
So I moved the fridge, and like I just could hardly even get to them. There's not much room. So I grabbed the broom. Also, I didn't want to get near the fucking thing. I'm not trying to play that. I was afraid because I certainly was.
And wait, will they jump at you?
No.
I don't know
they
anything.
They,
jump,
they were like dying.
They just.
I know they were dying.
They just yell, come over here.
Yeah.
They drag you over.
But
I just went over with a broom and just smacked it a bunch of times and he went down.
Wow. Yeah, but I just see out of the corner of my eye once again, Jeff is just like, die, die.
You see Jeff with like the tail in his hand.
Yeah,
we'll be okay.
Yeah, and then it was really funny because he was like moving it outside, and we had a little dustpan, so he was sweeping it up with the broom, and he was like, oh my god! And he just like put it away, and I was like, what? What happened? He was like, it made a squeaking noise. And I was like, is it still alive? So we're like both looking over them, like, are you alive? And then, so he, I'm like, all right, I think they're dead. So we tried to do it again. It was the dustpan making the
This is life or death.
It was a beanie baby.
Beanie baby.
Oh, I was giving birth.
But yeah, it was, you know, it's funny
it's
retrospect.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
I mean, this whole side Veronica's pale as a ghost on the bed, like, I'm gonna pass out.
Yeah, I know. I've never been that scared before where I was gonna pass out, but it was just, everything kept building up. Like, it was like, oh my god, I almost put that on my body. Oh my god, there's more. There's more in here. Are there
there's
anywhere like else? Like, they're breeding in front of my eyes.
Cottage is what you moved into.
Seriously.
In your shorts, though, that sucks.
That
That's
was
like
so bad. And it was
traumatic.
I wish I could describe it to you better, but just hearing the plop
falling
down from my shorts, I'm like, oh, what was that? What did I have
you
in my pocket?
Stepped on it.
Oh, I put my shorts on.
That's for the sound effects. That was good.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, but
what were all your excursions? I mean, you played with monkeys, you played with pigs. Was that on the retreat?
We had to drive pretty far, and I will tell you, the driving, at least for me, was no picnic because
bumpy,
I got
right?
car sick so
really?
Much.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
It's up mountains, just rocky roads,
not paved
roads the most.
Yeah, I mean, there was at one point when we were on one of our excursions, I mean, granted, we were driving up a mountain and it was totally worth it, so I'm not saying that, but Jeff had to literally hold me down because I was in the back seat, like boom, 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 like almost hitting my head on the ceiling of the car. It was really ridiculous.
I'm putting the shock absorption into my beard.
Yeah, it was bad.
Beard extend.
But I think the first week we had what excursion did we?
That was Las Musas. It was like like one of their local like little amusement parks where it's like slides, like water stuff, but they have like actual waterfalls and everything.
Like in Mexico, like when we did like the natural water park.
They have some artificial stuff too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was sort of like a Costa Rican splish splash type of thing. Yeah, so there were water slides and pools and stuff. But you could also go hiking, and they had a bunch of different waterfalls that you could swim in.
That's cool.
So I love that kind of stuff.
That's...
Like, I just thought that was so cool. So we loved that.
Well, let's tell that story real quick. So, like, there was one right when you get there, and then, like, the trail's leading in a few different directions. And we hiked for over an hour and never found any other ones, and we found our way right back to where we started.
And there's supposed to be 7 waterfalls in there.
So
and
how'd you screw that up?
It we
just,
weren't in charge. We were following.
So that was a little bit frustrating, but it was really nice because at the end of it, we still got to go in a waterfall, and we were drenched in sweat, but we all knew that we were probably going to go swimming, so we were already wearing our bathing suit, so it was like, oh, thank God, a waterfall, and we all just jumped right in, but that was kind of funny, but yeah, so that was a really fun excursion, and then
let's see.
On my birthday, which was the greatest birthday of my life to date, that's when we saw the monkeys,
mm-hmm.
and we went ziplining that day, too, which...
Best ziplining ever.
Yeah, we've been ziplining before, right?
But not, it wasn't like the one in Mexico over water. Like,
you
get
dropped in water.
No, you get strapped in, like, hardcore, and there's, like, a bunch of lines that
go through. So you went
through
trees and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, I had done something like that in St. Lucia, But the thing that was totally brand new to all of us was we did one called the Superman. So you get strapped in on your belly.
And
yeah, and it was, like, really ominous at first because the first person who went, our chef actually came with us. We were hanging out with him. And so they strapped Justin in. He's laying on his stomach on, like, this bed type of thing, and they're doing all the work. Like, you don't do anything. Your arms are just, like, strapped to your side. And then they pull the bed away from him, so then he's just suspended, and then they're like, all right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you're just, right on your belly.
Yeah, do you have to stop yourself?
On the, all the other ones you do, but this one, the only thing that you might have to do is if you're coming in too fast, you just put your arms out for drag, and that slows you down.
But on that one, I guess, like, I didn't weigh enough or something.
Yeah,
so
that would be...
Exactly, yeah, so I didn't make it. So then I started going backwards, and then too late, there was, like, a pole or, like, a rope or something. So the guy was like, oh, grab the rope. But he told me, like, when the rope was right there and I didn't have time to get it. So now I'm just going backwards, and then I was stuck hanging over this huge chasm on my stomach, just staring straight down while someone had to come and rescue me.
Pulls out this, like, little bike thing and, like, pedals him back in.
That was so funny. I didn't really care because I was, you know, that was, like, the last thing that we did. So we had gone through all the other zip lines. So I was kind of used to it at that point.
Did you
find
it hard to stop when, because I've heard a couple of friends. Because the only time I've been zip lining is when we went to Mexico and you dropped over water. Like,
yeah.
That was easy. They're just drop.
Right.
But I've had a couple of friends go where they're, like, in tears because they had to, like, stop themselves and it, like, overwhelmed them.
I didn't find it overwhelming. It was just sort of weird to figure out when you were supposed to break and when you were. Because if you were breaking too much, you wouldn't make it. And then they'd have to rescue you. And they don't want to really do that because it takes time and it's annoying for them to come out. So they're like, stop breaking. But then sometimes they'll be like, break! You're coming in too hot!
Like, they're supposed to give you signals, and this guy did not give me any signals.
Yeah,
the second time I was going,
smack
right into
the But there, we did like 9 different courses slowly going up the mountain. So by the end of it, you kind of get the hang of it. I didn't really feel overwhelmed by it.
With this, you get like this leather like glove thing that you put on.
Yeah.
So you put it behind you, and you slow yourself down that way on the line that you're going on. You don't have to like squeeze it.
But awesome. I absolutely loved it, so that was the greatest. And then with the monkey thing, it's just amazing because it's in this woman's kind of like her backyard, and it almost looks a little sketched when you're first coming up to it, but I think she was telling me how her whole family has sort of done this for generations, and they're all just like these monkey people, and like, and like, so in Spanish, ven means come, so this woman goes out in the back, and she's like, monkey, ven, and then we didn't really experience this part, but everyone else was telling us how normally the monkeys aren't there yet, and she goes out, and she says that, and the trees all of a sudden just come alive, and then all these monkeys
start
coming out of nowhere.
It's like Jurassic
Park. Yeah, it was so cool. But when we got there, the monkeys were already out, but it was still phenomenal.
Did you
like,
feed them? Like,
we fed them bananas. At one point, I had like 4 monkeys in my hair just like swinging around.
That's crazy.
You saw the monkey trying to pull my shirt off, you know? Like, but they're so sweet.
Soft.
And they have like the softest little hands. And then it was really cute because so I have, like, all these beauty marks on my neck, right? And this one monkey, he was just, like, chilling on my shoulder, and he's staring at me, and then he starts trying to pick one of the beauty marks off because he thought
it was
a bug. Yeah, so I was like, oh, stop. So then he's like, all right. So he starts picking my hair, and then he keeps going back to it. I'm like, stop, it's not a bug. And then it's like he got fed up with me, and he just, like, pushed my face out. I was like, oh, what do you know? You're trying to help these people.
So ungrateful.
I know. Like, fine. Keep
American.
The tick on your neck. It's not going to be me.
Did you guys hear howler monkeys or no? You weren't.
I think we might have.
Yeah, we weren't sure. We heard some.
You can tell the story.
Yeah. So there's one night where everybody had told us about coyotes. We knew there were coyotes in the area.
Yeah.
And I heard them howling one night. And I said, oh, wow, you can really hear the coyotes tonight. She says, I don't think those are coyotes. Those sound like donkeys. Like a pack of wild asses got together in the night and just started howling.
They're notorious.
So night donkeys, they're a lot more dangerous.
Night donkeys.
To me, it kind of sounded like braying, first of all. Second of all, I didn't want to admit that there were coyotes right there.
They're dangerous. They don't like humans.
I still don't want one near me.
I do. They're practically dogs.
I don't
know
what that.
Have you ever seen them? They're adorable.
Yeah, I've seen them. So where is the
just
pit?
Like
where were the pigs?
Oh, okay. So right towards the end of our trip, we ended up doing this thing where we drove all the way up to the peak of this mountain, and we had a picnic up there, and we made friends with this amazing, hysterical guy who's a local there, named Jorge, and we ended up making friends with his whole family. Like, his wife Rosio made my birthday cake and made a cake for Jeff when he graduated and everything. And then his daughter Nicole ended up coming to yoga every single morning, and they didn't really speak much English, so I was trying to speak as much Spanish as I could with them. And it was like, she was just so appreciative. She would go back and tell Jorge every day, like, oh my gosh, I went to yoga and Veronica was speaking the Spanish to me. Like, she was just adorable. She was 10 years old. Aww. And just the sweetest, such a sweetie. So we ended up getting really close with the whole family. And so Jorge, I mean, he worked for the retreat center, but you could just tell he loves Costa Rica and wants everybody to love Costa Rica as much as he did. So he ended up taking us up the mountain, and we drove in, what was it, this little red 84 Toyota? Yeah, and it's just like, this thing is the oldest car, but it put up with so much. Like I said, the car was like back and forth. I'm jumping around in the back, almost hitting my head. We drove through a river. Like, it was just crazy.
That was awesome.
And that car just put up with so much, and we made it up there, but Jorge is friends with essentially everybody in Costa Rica. So anytime we'd pass any sort of farm, he'd be like, oh, this is my friend. Oh, let's go see him. It's my friend. So we'd get out, we'd pet their dogs, we'd say hi to their cows, we'd leave. And like, oh, it's another one of my friends. Oh, come on, let's go, let's go. So we ended up stopping at all these different farms along the way, and one of them had like six
dozens.
Different giant mom pigs with hundreds of babies. A bunch of little baby piggies. And I love pigs. They are like my favorite animals,
yeah.
Especially little piglets. And so we get out, and at first Jorge was like, okay, we don't know if the mom is going to be protective over them or not, so don't just go run up to them, but you know, we can stop and take some pictures and look at them. So at first we're like, okay. So then he goes and he talks to the owner of the farm, and he's like, oh, good. He says, come on, he has more in here, so let's go. So we go in and we get closer and we see more, and we're like, wow, they're so cute. So then he's like, you want to hold them? Want to catch them? Go on.
Catch one.
Yeah. So he just like goes and picks one up randomly, and the little thing was squealing so much. So I felt so bad because I didn't want to scare it, but I held her for that proud second. I was like, me and the pig.
I got a video of it, but it sounds like she's murdering it.
Yeah, so I
dear God, let me
yeah,
go.
So I put it down quickly because he was just so scared. But I mean, it
but
was.
But then Desiree, the fucking pig whisperer, picks up the same pig, and it just silences for about 5 seconds, just like totally cool.
Yeah, there's a video of it. She's just holding it, and she's like, shh, shh. And then it calms down, and then her wife took out a camera to take a picture, and then it was like, no, no!
My soul!
Yes, my soul. So I was a little jealous. I was like, you didn't even like pigs as much as me. But no, it was amazing. So then, yeah, we carried on, and we went all the way up to the top of the mountain. And it was like, Jorge is just hysterical because, so we were driving and we were taking this very specific path because, as you can imagine, there's not too many paved roads up there. And,
lots of cow shit, though.
Yeah, there's just, like, it's so funny because.
Whoa, what?
Cow shit. Like, you'll see a mountain, like, super steep. And then you're staring at it, and you're like, is that a cow on that mountain?
Isn't
there's
it
just
weird?
One little cow just chilling.
I don't want to get down. I'm going to die here.
Help!
road that we had to take, we get to it, and there's a huge tree that fell right in the middle of it. So we're like, oh, no. So we were telling Jorge, like, it's okay, because we were already up really high. We're like, we can stay here. We'll just find a nice place to picnic. Like, it's fine. And he was like, no, I'm not giving up. I am not giving up. So he's like, he gets out. He's kind of just like surveying the scenario. And then he's like, all right, I think we could just drive around it. But there wasn't much room because there were like other trees in the way and stuff. So he's like, come on, Jeff. Come on. You help me. You help me. So him and Jeff are like picking up the trees that are in the way and just moving them out of the way. Like total Costa Rican mountain man. And then he just backed his car like around the tree and up the mountain like it was no big deal. We're like, okay, whatever. But we're really glad that we did end up going around and going up further, because if we thought it was beautiful where we were, it was just breathtaking. Like, I've never been up that high on a mountain
before. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. So we sat there and we had lunch, and then part of Jeff's teacher training was to learn about the Bhagavad Gita. So we were just talking about that. Like, his training was essentially up on a mountaintop, yeah. And it was just nuts. And we were walking around, exploring.
And I gotta put this out there. I got to ride in the back of the pickup, like on top of the mountain. It was awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, really, it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And then when we were coming home, we got stuck because they were bulldozing, like, just amazing. Actually, it was funny because when we were on that mountain peak, like higher than you would think anything would want to go, there's still cow poop.
That was the one constant. There's cow shit everywhere.
Yeah, like,
pick
what?
It up and move it.
Yeah.
Higher up.
So that was funny.
Yeah,
but yeah, so then you just never know what you're going to see, because yeah. Then we ran into bulldozers and stuff. We're like, here? Really? Okay. So we kind of had to wait a couple minutes, and then I think Desiree was in the front seat, and she's just like, everybody, look behind you! Because I guess she saw it in the rearview mirror, and we all turn around, and there's this huge herd. No, there's this huge herd of sheep just randomly coming down the mountain, and we were like, oh my god, look at all these sheep! So we saw so many animals
that day. Did you see any sloths?
No, unfortunately.
That's right,
we're
so obsessed with it. Yeah, not in the region.
Okay.
They like the dry forest, in the dry season especially, and they stay high up in the trees unless
yeah.
they really need to shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what they do, they come down just to
back
up. But actually, Jurassic Park was filmed in Costa Rica, and we almost got to go to the island where it was filmed.
Oh,
man,
get there.
That
would have
been cool.
Yeah, the lady's actually considering buying it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Lady's got money.
Wow.
When,
yeah.
When you guys saw the sheet, did anybody say, get back?
Oh, man.
You don't know me like that.
Yeah, but it was
really cool,
pretty incredible.
So. The cats there.
So, you have to teach 5 classes, right?
Yeah, so if you guys want some free
Well,
yoga.
I was going to say, can you give us a class?
Yeah.
I joked, but I was semi-serious in the car. I was like, I'll have, like, yoga at Cedar, and you can come teach whoever wants to join
sure.
here.
Yeah.
We can move everything, and we can do it right there in the middle.
I'll put on the Himalayan salt lamp, a little light.
For sure, yeah.
Couch back and stuff.
How does it work? How do they know you're being truthful? I mean, obviously, it's all about truthful.
Lie. I mean,
you could lie,
we're
right?
truthful enough. Like, I would like
of
to practice anyway.
No, of course.
Yeah, it's for your benefit. Like,
yeah.
if you want to start teaching and not have ever taught before, that's kind of your prerogative. But
it's
very different. And Jeff was doing amazing with his teachings. And he would do, like, 15-minute classes at first just to, like, get his feet wet. But I'm sure you can agree that, like, once you're really teaching, like, a 45 to an hour class, it's, like, it's different. So you kind of want to do it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, they were already ready to hire him. And we were thinking of, I don't know if it's going to happen, but we kind of want to do something like a couples class for Valentine's Day or something.
That's fun.
Yeah, because there's some really funny things that you can do, even if you're not specifically, like, a dating couple, even if it's just friends, like, it's really fun, you know? Like, we were laughing when we did his partner yoga segment in his training. It was one of the most fun days. We were having a blast.
So, like,
with
it, like,
that.
Gave you ideas and stuff to incorporate for teaching in the future?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
For sure.
You have to write up your own lesson plans and stuff, though.
But his lesson plan was about Star Wars becoming a Jedi and stuff.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, so it was great. You know, he was really getting so creative with it. And it was funny because, like we said before, I had asked him, because I knew when I did my teacher training, there were a bunch of people who were like, I'm not here to be a teacher. I just want to learn more about yoga, you know. And then by the end of it, they were like, actually, I really want to be a teacher. And so I asked him at first, I was like, so how are you feeling? Like, do you want to be a teacher or are you just here to learn? And he was like, no, you know, I'm just kind of down for the ride. I don't know if I really want to teach. And then I was like, so how do you feel now at the end of it? And he was like, I want to be a teacher.
Yeah.
I can just do more awesome stuff now.
Wow. Yeah. So I mean,
cool,
it's just
guys.
A world of possibilities.
Yeah,
so
that's cool. Yeah. Kind of balancing my head and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was so funny. This one day, it was, like, in the middle of while we were there, and I was just helping him with a headstand. I was, like, telling him how to do it and assisting him with it. And then a day later, he was really good at it, and he could do his headstand. And then, you know, the next day, he's doing forearm stand. And then the day after that, he's, like, doing chin stand. So I was writing in my journal. I'm like, wow, it's just so beautiful to see the progression that Jeff is going through. You know, just a couple days ago, he was afraid to do a headstand, and now he's standing on his face. But it was awesome, because when I did my training, it was a whole 6-month program, so
yeah.
It was very drawn out, and it made sense that we would all grow and change within that 6-month period, but it was just such a stark difference from the beginning to the end, and only in a month.
Yeah.
But when you're there and that's what you can dedicate your entire
yeah,
time to.
Lifestyle.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was just so healthy. Like, I haven't really felt the best since coming back.
Yeah, no, I've been feeling sick every night.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Yes. Everything there is organic and clean. The water is cleaner than the water we have here, out of the faucets.
Yeah, yeah. The air here sucks too.
But it was so funny because
that's probably what did the most.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. But we were laughing beforehand because we were like, oh, we are going to come back so sexy because we're going to be tan and we're going to be buff from doing yoga every day and we are just going to be so beautiful. And then, yeah, and then I started getting really sick feeling. We started breaking out because the toxins were released from our body. He got like a 3rd-degree burn on his nose. It was just, it was so funny. And then this one morning I was just like laying sick on the ground and I'm like, so much for coming back sexy with my pimply face and my, we weren't even that tan. Like, it was just, never mind. I guess it's not what we're here for, right?
Oh, that's the human experience.
You guys actually look worse.
Yeah. Where did you guys
put on
from?
Weight.
Have your bodies changed, do you feel?
I definitely lost, I don't know if I lost weight because I don't really weigh myself, but
yeah,
I definitely got more toned,
yeah,
for sure. But, I mean, we did yoga every morning and then sometimes multiple times a day because when he would have to practice teaching, we'd have to take his classes and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, how could you not? If I wasn't toned a little bit more, at least a little bit more, I'd be like, what's going on here?
Yeah. And did you gain muscle?
It became denser.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not like bigger, but I am fatter.
Huh?
Yeah, but just, it's cool. Yeah, I like yoga. It's fun.
I like
yoga.
And that's it.
You guys have any other questions or anything you want to hear?
No. I'm done with you guys.
No, that was really good.
Yeah.
What's the best thing you ate? I have to ask that.
I loved Rocio's cakes.
Why are they fighting?
They do this every time I record. Stop
hey.
It. Every podcast, even when I do One Tree Hill podcast, all you hear in the background is... and we're like,
I like to make a joke that, like, Soli, because, like, we always blame Liam, but, like, I always, like, make a joke that, like, Soli's, like, talking bad about us. And Liam's like, no, they're not mean. Stop saying
anything. Now when he attacks her, I'm just like, oh,
you're just defending our honor.
No.
Good job, Liam.
Soli's just a bitch.
We have some really good meals. It's hard to remember. Oh, okay. So every morning, the chef, well, not every morning, but a lot of mornings, the chef would make these little chia puddings. But he would go crazy with them. And I discovered I love passion fruit.
Oh, man.
Absolutely love passion fruit. So my favorites would be when he would make the chia pudding and then put, like, passion fruit on the top. I loved that. And then my other favorite thing, of course, they're sweet things. He made a dessert one night, and it was, like...
In the coconut?
No, no, not in the coconut. It was, like, a base, like, almost like a cakey kind of base, but it was all vegan. So I think it had nuts and dates and oatmeal and stuff like that. And then a raw vegan ice cream, which I believe was, like, mango or something like that. And then whipped coconut cream and then passion fruit drizzled on top. I loved that. I ate, like, because, like, not everybody liked it, so I was like, I'll eat it. I'll finish it. No, just give it to me. It's fine. Yeah. So that was my favorite.
We had a few different types of vegan lasagna, but one of them was just really good.
Yeah.
It was gourmet food.
Yeah, absolutely. And every single meal.
Did you go to the spa at all that was there?
That was, like, just finished, and they didn't have the person working there to do that. So we only went there. We did this thing called, like, an Akashic record reading, which is, it's like a, almost like a psychic kind of experience where she opens up your Akashic record, which is, like the history and the knowledge of your soul.
Wow.
And you can, like, just ask her questions.
So did you find some interesting stuff out about yourself?
It was validating. It was sort of, That's what I'll say. It was validating because I was asking questions that I kind of felt like I already knew the answer to, and it was just like, yes. But like I said, I'm pretty in tune with my soul to begin with, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
She pretty much kind of like put ours on the same path. We didn't do it together. We did them separately, but like you're able to ask your own questions, but she pretty much told us the same things, which were like, my question is more about like, how do I know I'm doing the right thing? How do I know like going back to school isn't the right option right now? Should I focus on that? And she's pretty much said, school's going to be there when you come back. You only get to do this for a time in your life, and if you don't do it now, it's not coming back. So just do it.
Yeah. And we also, I wanted to talk about
this. She said that verbatim, ball deep.
She did.
Jeffrey told us to ball out a little, which was funny because that's not something she would ever say. And she was like, she was reading my Akashic records, and that's something Jeff and I say all the time. And she's like, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel like you're supposed to ball out. I'm like, okay, well, that's something my soul would say.
And
but
I was asking her, like, what I should go back, like, if I should go back to school. And she's like, but your education's not done here. And what I had been thinking about was engineering. She's like, I feel like I see engineering somewhere in there. I was like, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I also wanted to talk about, we did a numerology class.
Ooh.
Which was,
oh, that was
so amazing. And it was really quite incredible because, first of all, you have all these different numbers. I can't really get into it, but you have, like, your life path number and then your destiny number and whatever. And so she went around the room and she's like, oh, does anybody have a favorite number? And I said 8, and she was like, oh, well, that's interesting because you're an 8. So, like, that's my, like...
Your life path number.
Exactly. Like, me, I am an 8, and that... She read off all the things that meant about me, and it was so spot on. Even, like, little minute things, like, you know, it was like, oh, you're going to love a life of adventure and this, that, and the other thing. But then it was like, oh, but you also have difficulty standing up for yourself, and that is so accurate. Like, that's my biggest challenge that I face, you know?
They were really accurate.
Yeah,
what's,
and
what's
then,
your number? Did
I was going to say,
mine was 4.
4. So he was a 4, I was an 8, and then she was able to go through just based off of your name and break it down into numbers through that and go through and show you, like, what your life was, like, things that happened in your life and then what your life was gonna be based off of what numbers that it's ruled by in certain points in your life.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't really know anything about us. Like, that was her first time meeting Jeff, because Beth did this, her wife, and, it was her first time meeting Jeff. She knew me a little bit, but not majorly. So she was really just going through and being like, well, this is what your numerology report says. Is any of this true? And we would be able to go out and say, like, yeah, no, that was totally accurate. At that point in my life, I was dealing with depression, or I was dealing with a change, or, you know, just all these crazy things. And then she was even pretty much able to see, like, where Jeff and I met, because our charts lined up.
Wow. I've got one right here, actually.
Yeah, and it was just so cool, because basically, at the point in Jeff's chart where all of a sudden he starts traveling and has this life of adventure is the same point in my chart where it's like, oh, you find love, and your life is ruled by romance. So it was so cool. It was nuts. And then our charts were, like, lined up in, like, if his chart said, oh, you're going to be ruled by family matters, mine would be ruled by that as well. So I was like, okay, so you guys are probably going to have a baby here, probably going to get married here, probably going to have another kid here. Like, it was just so cool.
So you guys have a baby before you get married?
Nah, that's, I just said it that way. We're going to get married first.
If you'd like, I'll show you guys some of this later.
Yeah, but it's awesome. Yeah.
I've read about it, but I never knew if, like, certain books are interpreted in different ways or, you know.
I'm going to do a workshop at that studio, so maybe I can help you guys with this.
Yeah. Because he was really into it.
Yeah,
it
was pretty cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I think we got a pretty...
Now, since the introduction's done, I'm going to talk about my moving out.
Yeah, Dan, so how's...
I'm kidding. You don't want
to
say it like
I moved to South Beach from home. That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Big
so
changes.
You're living your dreams.
Yeah.
Out of the house.
Yeah. But, I mean, no, that was a dream. That was, you know, you've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah.
There's cow shit everywhere.
Just coincidentally, there's a lot of cow shit.
Cow territory, Sound Beach, man.
Yeah. I'll just be driving to work, and there's just a cow in the middle of the road. But I don't know why there's a cow there. There shouldn't be.
I cannot compare that. That's awesome.
I cannot compare.
I could not compare with
I know, I was like, when you guys were traveling, I'm like, well, they don't know yet, but they're totally coming on a Living Your Dreams.
I totally forgot that you had that segment. I was like, oh my gosh, how perfect.
She's about to put a YouTube video out about it, too.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I was actually, like, writing up the plan for it before we came here, and I want to do a video on how to live your dreams, because so many people are like, oh, how are you doing this, and... Mm-hmm. It's hard depending on your circumstances, but it's not really that hard.
No, it's
like
not.
It's just a matter of taking the plunge. So
yeah.
You can look forward to that.
Yeah, I like
interested.
That part in the beginning.
That's like the best.